49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Hope everybody had a great weekend in terms of sports. If you're an Alabama fan, I think you should have had a pretty solid weekend on the heels of Thanksgiving. We had the Iron Bowl. Alabama goes on the road, Jordan-Hare Stadium, takes care of business, somewhat narrowly escapes 27-20 victory over the Auburn Tigers, leading them to where will be this upcoming weekend. Atlanta be heading back to hot Atlanta, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs after Texas A&M drops their season finale to Texas, right? Arch Manning and those guys getting the job done. And that means we will be facing the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC championship game this weekend. Plenty to talk about there. We're going to break down the Iron Bowl. I know there's plenty of thoughts with that, right? Overall solid performance, some good, definitely some really good, right? I can think of, you know, one guy in particular for sure who had himself a hell of a game that really, definitely a couple guys, but there's one guy that's definitely popping in my mind, a good friend of our show, Bray Hubbard. Shout out to him, definitely getting a game ball from us and others. So we got plenty of good to talk about, a little bit of bad, and maybe a tiny bit of ugly here and there. And we're going to discuss all that, dive and all that here in a little bit. We're going to discuss this SEC championship matchup. Again, we're very familiar with this team. We played them earlier in the season on the road at their place. Now we're going to Atlanta, where they're going to be looking to get some revenge, and we're going to be looking to put these guys out for good. And I say for good, but is that really true, though? Chase, Reed? Probably not. Why? Well, one would assume that regardless of the outcome of this game, Georgia probably still will be in the college football playoffs. And if we win the game, we definitely will be in there, which means there could be a trilogy all in one year, which would be absolutely nuts. But that's the state of college football, right? And if anybody's been paying attention to the news over the weekend, the state of college football is in a very interesting spot. Fired, hired, fired, hired, fired, hired has been pretty much the theme over the weekend. Lane Kiffin still on the show. All the attention on him in this situation, which we'll talk plenty about it. I've got plenty of thoughts there. Sounds like it ended up being a pretty messy breakup. Now, I know we've been talking about it over the last couple weeks. The speculation has been there. I think everybody kind of saw the writing on the wall. There's a good chance that Lane was, in fact, leaving. But I don't think people anticipated being this messy. It's inevitable, but we're going to have to talk about it. I mean, it's literally the biggest topic in college football right now. So I definitely want to get y'all's thoughts on that, on everything. I want to get y'all's thoughts on the Iron Bowl. I want to get y'all's thoughts on playing Georgia for a second time in the SEC championship game. And I definitely want to get y'all's thoughts on Lane's situation, but not just Lane, but also everything else that's coming with it, right? Shout out to Pete Golden. A lot of people, I know a lot of Bama fans might not feel the same way I feel. I was coached by Pete. I know him very well, right? He was a really solid dude. Still is. I love this for him. He, if you guys didn't know, I'm sure you do, but he actually was promoted to full-time head coach with the departure of Lane Kiffin. So he will take over as Ole Miss's head coach starting now. So he'll lead these guys into the playoffs, and he'll continue as head coach moving forward after that as well. So I'm really excited for him, not just him, but there's a lot of people on that staff actually that have, you know, ties to Alabama that I, you know, have ties to that I know. And I'm really excited for the opportunity that those guys have over there. And I think Pete's going to do a really good job, and I'm excited to see how everything plays out there. But there's plenty to talk about. I mean, I feel like the college football world right now, Chase Reed, is literally on fire, and it's not necessarily in a good way, but in terms of having stuff to talk about, well, we've got plenty to do with that. Not to mention, you've got signing day in 2 days. I believe it's this Wednesday, right? The 3rd, which is kind of crazy. We're at the point now where, like, signing day used to be this big ordeal. Everybody would be gearing up to it, and maybe there still is some attention on signing day. Definitely is, but not nearly the same amount as there was prior, right? Before NIL, before the transfer portal, I mean, signing day was like a holiday. I feel like at this point, it just seems like it hasn't been the same. And part of the reason I say that is I forgot it was signing day, and so I just saw a post earlier that said signing day is coming up. I think part of it too, Chase Reed, I think nowadays when you have, you know, these guys doubling down on their commitments and, you know, partnering with the collective to put out these posts saying we're locked in 100%, like shutting things down. I mean, it, somewhat, I wouldn't say it takes away the excitement in a good way, though. I mean, not really as worried about these guys, but there's not as much, I guess, I don't know, action going on, so to speak. Who knows? I guess there still could be. We did have a guy decommit, and then literally like 12 hours later, he recommitted and said he's signing. At this point, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't really, you guys know, I don't really keep up recruiting like that. If you guys ask me to look up a player, we definitely will do that for you. But whoever signs here, man. We roll with what we got. I think that's a good lesson to learn in this day and age. That said, plenty to talk about. We'll discuss it. And there's plenty of media to listen to respond to react to. You've got Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart teleconference that took place yesterday evening. Those are a little bit longer. So I will say, I don't know if we'll get to all of those. Maybe we'll listen to part of it. But I do know that head coach Kalen DeBoer did detail some things, some key facts that we definitely need to discuss. Some injury updates. We'll dive into that when we get into the Iron Bowl breakdown. But there were a couple guys banged up in that game. Some guys that went into that game already banged up, and some guys that didn't play in that game. We've got some updates on that. We'll give you guys that because I think that will be important, something to pay attention to in this matchup this weekend, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you guys want to get in on any of these topics, if it feels like there's a million of them, 205-342-9904 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. Plus, you can always come hang out with us on the stream here on YouTube at The Miller's Edge, completely free. All we do is ask you, drop a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Real simple. Or you can always check us out on Facebook on the Tide 100.9 page as well. We also stream there. You can drop your comments, interact with the chat, watch me do the show, watch us play all the clips and videos, all the good stuff right here. But don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app, completely free as well. Allows you to listen to all shows wherever you are, no matter if that's in the U.S., outside the U.S., wherever. You can listen to all the shows there. So download that Tide 100.9 app, where you can also easily call in with the click of a button or drop your questions, comments, concerns as an app message or leave a voice message. You also can do that too. We can play it live on air. That being said, we're going to hit our first timeout. We come back, we'll dive into all these things. We'll either start with Lane, we'll start a little bit with the Iron Bowl, maybe we'll do a little bit of both. We're going to talk about something. All that on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Support Experts. Don't forget about our friends over there. Make sure you guys check them out if you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. They take care of it, clinically proven to do so. In 4 short weeks, you just pop these inserts in your shoes and they get to work. No matter if they're boots, heels, tennis shoes, running shoes, Nike, Adidas, doesn't matter. They all work and they all take away that pain. So make sure you guys check them out. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa is where you find them. Or you can go to their website, find the nearest location to you, goodfeet.com, that is. And they've got plenty of information and videos and all that good stuff as well. So you got to check them out. Or walk-ins are welcome. Schedule an appointment as well on the website, goodfeet.com. That is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time like we try to do for you guys. 2 hours at a time. Quick timeout.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Guys, where do we start, man? Where do we start, literally? I mean, there's like a million topics to talk about, which I'm not complaining. That's a good problem to have. Let's do this. Let's start with the Iron Bowl, since that's fresh. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Lane. I know I really want to dive into that, and I'm sure you guys have plenty of thoughts there, too. But let's start with the Iron Bowl, just because that's, you know, fresh, that's recent, and it's important to us, right? That's our big rivalry game. We were talking about it. We knew that we needed to win that game to keep everything alive in front of us, and we, in fact, did that. Me and my partner, Gray Robertson, we broke it down on our post-game show. It was damn late. I'm not going to lie, Chase Reed, I was sitting there almost dozing off Because by that time, man, I feel like I was going all day. Then the game itself, and then you're talking about it up to, you know, almost 1 o'clock in the morning. But it was fun, man. It's a blessing to do that. But anyway, that said, I gave my thoughts then, and let me echo those with you guys that didn't get to stay up that late. 27-20 victory over Auburn. We didn't have anybody get the score predictions right, but I feel like everybody was kind of in that realm. I feel like everybody was pretty close, which is, you know, shout out to all our folks, man. We got ball knowers on this show, so that's awesome to see. Let's start with the offense. Guys, I'll say this. Some good, some bad. I don't know if I would call too much ugly necessarily, but let's just say this. I was hoping Ty would have that kind of return to form game. Did he have that? Not necessarily, no. But he definitely played a decent game. And the reason I say decent is you look at the numbers, 19-35, only 122 yards. Did have those three touchdowns, which were great plays. I mean, the one falling on his back foot, he's facing pressure. I mean, drops it. I mean, it's a dime in the breadbasket to Isaiah Horton. So, and shout out to Horton. You know, speaking of him, game ball definitely goes to Isaiah Horton here. But I thought Ty played pretty solid, right? Now, he took some shots. He showed that grit. I mean, he got back up. He was jawing a little bit. That was the energy. Remember, guys, I kept saying I want to see some more of that fire, that passion, kind of like what we saw against Georgia. I feel like that started coming back to life. And you expect that, right? This is an Iron Bowl. This is a rivalry game. But there are a couple things here and there that, you know, definitely could have been better, could have been cleaned up. But still, to me, you know, the most important thing was he protected the football. He did have one that was almost picked off, but luckily, you know, they dropped it, which that was a theme for them, especially on the offense side of the ball. I mean, those dudes couldn't catch a cold to save their life. But anyway, Ty did have three touchdowns, right? Did what he needed to do to lead this team to victory. So while it wasn't a perfect performance, you can't complain when you got a guy that's just out there just giving it what he has. Man, he's continuously fighting, taking shots, getting back up, and making plays when those plays are needed. You talk about some of those second effort plays too. Like, I think it was like that fourth down. He's scrambling and he's fighting for those extra yards, man. He did a great job at, you know, those intangible type things, right? Just being a great leader, being a fighter, and making plays when we need him to. So shout out to him. Again, wasn't like that necessarily, I guess, massive comeback game, but again, solid performance, especially given the past few weeks, you know, being in a little bit of a rut. I think what impressed me the most, guys, our ability to run the football in this game. And I asked Clint last week, I said, I mean, what do you think about that? And we talked about it. Well, you know, it's going to be a little tough. You talk about Auburn's defense. They've got one of the best rushing defenses in the country. They've got some dudes up front. I told you guys about 24. There weren't as much talk about 24, more so about 15, who also is a damn good player. But I was watching 24 on tape, and I'm like, man, that guy can get after the quarterback. That said, we ran the ball really well. We had 158 yards on the ground. Jam Miller went for 83 before leaving the game with an injury. Looked kind of like a high ankle sprain to me, which if that's the case, I don't expect him to play this weekend, especially being a running back. I know we talked about Tim Keenan doing the tightrope and coming back a little soon, but there's a big difference between cutting and planting and doing all those things at the running back position and being a big nose tackle where your feet are a little bit more grounded and you're not required to do so much change of direction. So I don't know for sure if it's a high ankle. I'm just saying it kind of looked like that to me, especially with the crutches. If it's a normal ankle sprain, I don't think they would have that much for him. But who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I thought he played well in this game. Daniel Hill also had 11 carries, 39 yards. Ty Simpson had 10 carries for 31 yards. I think one thing that either they listened to me and my dad and mentioned it on our show, or they realized that Ty scrambled a little bit, getting him on the ground helps open things up a little bit too. But he also had 10 carries in this game. That said, running the football was exactly what we needed to do. We always talk about that. When you play on the road, man, you got to find a way to run the football, right? It's one of the most important factors of being the away team. And we found a way against a really good defense. So you got to tip your hat to the offense. The guys up front, I thought they did a solid job. I think we gave up 3 sacks. But for the most part, I thought we did pretty good. We did face some pressure. Auburn, going into the game, they weren't a team that pressured. I mean, I would say they probably pressured at an average rate, but this game, I feel like we saw a little bit more. They watched a lot of tape and understand. Having Ty Simpson under duress is probably one of the better game plans that you can have. So we saw some pressure, and they had some success. But overall, man, I thought our guys up front did a solid job. Other thing about the offense, we were missing Quavis. we got to see Pritchett in there. Edwards, I thought they did all right. I think who was it? I think Pritchett might have had a drop or so. But listen, to not have Quavis in there wasn't as bad as I was thinking it probably could have been. So that was always something I was going to pay attention to. But I think the bigger story offensively, guys, everybody's been talking about. And we'll talk about this also later. It's another story that we probably need to discuss. While Isaiah Horton was, you know, the man of the hour, three touchdowns, you know, only 35 yards, had five receptions, but those three touchdowns, which were huge in this game. Ryan Williams, on the other hand, had zero targets. And I think that was like the first time he had not one target. You know, it's one thing to not have any receptions, but to have no targets, man, that definitely was a little interesting. It has a lot of people questioning some things. So maybe we'll discuss that later on. But the only thing I would say that I'll add offensively, man, we're just missing that explosive playability, like that deep shot ability. I know we had, was it Bernard? Ty just missed him, man. If this offense could find a way, and I know this is asking them to pretty much be perfect, but I'm just telling you guys, this offense would be so much better if we had a consistent running game and if we connected on those deep shots, on those explosive plays. I mean, this offense would be like operating at like its peak. The running game's starting to come around, but we're not really hitting on a bunch of explosive plays. And personally, I feel like we got to find a way. We got the skill guys, man. Tying those guys, they have to get that connection because there's opportunities that are there. And unfortunately, we're just not hitting on. Last thing I'll say about the offense real quick is play calling had me scratch my head a little bit, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a couple times, and I hate being that guy calling out coaches or anything, but it's just my honest opinion, right? And there's a reason they get paid to do it and not me. But just a couple times, man, it feels like sometimes we get too cute, right, offensively. You know, when it's short yardage situation and we're either taking a shot or we're trying to do something gimmicky, I just wish that we could try to just really just, you know, lean into those plays and just, you know, fight for those yards and instead of trying to get too cute. I think sometimes we have these opportunities in the game to, like, for example, we were up, what, like 17-0? And I feel like then we go to, like, a trick play, like, to open a drive or something like that. Like, I and maybe the thought process, like, cause I understand there's different perspectives. Maybe it's, hey, they might be expecting a conservative play call. Let's try to, you know, element of surprise here, hit a shot, boom, whatever the case may be. But to me, I'm just like, sometimes I think, you know, simplicity would be a lot better. And I feel like if we just kind of get away from just what we do well, just like Slade came on here and mentioned, you know what I mean? But that's neither here nor there. That's maybe just me nitpicking, but that was just another comment that came to mind. The only other thing that I will mention in terms of play calling is some of these, like, you know, mesh routes or even slants, things like that. I don't feel like we see a whole bunch of those. I feel like when we were playing, that was something Lane drew up a lot. We had a lot of success with guys like Judy and Waddle and Ruggs. I mean, I feel like we have the skill guys, man. I think some of those quick, easy opportunities would be good. Even Brooks. I mean, I feel like we have the personnel to do that stuff. We just don't see a whole bunch of it. But again, I'm not trying to be that guy criticizing play calling. Those are just my thoughts. I think sometimes we get a little too cute instead of just lining up and playing some football. We got good players, man. Just let those guys do what they do and make plays. The only other thing pertaining to play calling that I want to bring up is the decision to go for late in the game when, you know, we're marching down the field. It's 4th and 2. We're, like, inside the 10-yard line. It's a chip shot field goal. And shout out to Talty. He was perfect. 5 of 5, 2 for 2 on his field goal attempts. First one being 45 yards with a lot of wind going against him, I believe. And then also he was perfect on his PATs, but I wanted to give him credit as well. Great way to respond, man. And he seemed like he just was knocking him down and just carrying himself. He wasn't doing them. He just was handling his business, man. So shout out to him. That was good to see. That said, a lot of people were kind of like excited and boasting about the decision to go for it. Cause again, it worked out and I get that. And this is probably what makes Kalen DeBoer very successful as a coach that goes in to these ranked games. I know this one ranked, but in these big situations ends up to typically have success. You know, he's aggressive and it typically works out for him. And so I'm not knocking his decision, but I will say I was probably one of the few people that I questioned that a little bit more. To me, that was a little bit too aggressive, only given the fact that you're talking about a chip shot field goal in this situation. Talty has been great. It's not like he was giving you a reason to have concerns. And I heard DeBoer in the press conference talk about, you know, they have confidence in their guys. I mean, to go pick up 2 yards. But to me, it was a little, like, contradicting because it's like, I mean, then why are we doing all these trick plays and things like that when we are in other short yardage situations earlier in the game? Anyway, but that was his decision to go for it, ended up working out. But Chase Reed, I couldn't help from, you know, my standpoint of just looking at it like, if you choose to go for it, they're not get it. You got faith that the defense will get a stop, get the ball back again, and they get another opportunity. But I'm like, man, if you choose to go for it there, instead of taking the easy chip shot, which you just said you got faith in the defense, we'll just take the chip shot, know your defense will get a stop, you'll get the ball back, and you just kneel it out. I can totally see a world where if you miss that, or if you go for it and you don't get that, everybody's selling him, Braden, because we get it. But imagine a world where he takes that aggressive. I mean, because we're talking about all the marbles on the line. If you lose this football game, we're not playing this weekend and we're not in the playoffs. That's why I think it was a little too aggressive for me. I'm just being on that again, but I don't get paid. I'm not criticizing anybody. Those are just my thoughts. I'm curious what y'all think. But to me, I'm just taking the points in that situation, knowing that I trust my defense to get a stop. Because if you get too aggressive there and you don't have success and you lose because of that, I'm just telling you right now, people around, not just the state of Alabama, but all Alabama fans, that could have gone bad, but it went good, so that's all that matters. Real quick, because I'm going long, we hit special teams, we hit plenty of offense. Just want to give out some game balls on the defense. But defense did solid. We definitely gave up yards. It was kind of funny, this game kind of mimicked Oklahoma, but the other way around, if you look at it right, I mean, Auburn, they outgained us, right? I mean, they had like 400, I think, total yards. They had 259 receiving yards. They had 152 rushing yards. Ashton Daniels, hey, man, I want to give him respect, man. He played a good game, 18 to 39, 259 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But to be fair, man, his guys, again, couldn't catch to save their life. I mean, we got a lot of breaks because, I mean, these dudes were dropping everything. However, I want to give credit to our secondary because we were playing really aggressive, very physical, not just with our, you know, our pass breakups, but even in our run support, man, just watching our guys fly down and, you know, make physical tackles, attack blocks. That's the difference, right? I talked about the linebacker play being different, even seeing that from our secondary. That's what I was describing week one that we did not see against Florida State. Guys were just catching, waiting, watching everybody else. That has changed. We're seeing guys violently come downhill, you know, strike guys, take on guys, hat on a hat, and go make plays, right? Game ball, number one on defense, we're going to give it to Bray Hubbard. Two big turnovers in this game. The last one to seal the deal, right? Cam Coleman, you know, catches that screen. He makes a guy miss. They're marching on the field. They're trying to tie the game up. Well, Bray Hubbard, man. Who can you count on to come force a turnover when you need it, man? That guy, Bray Hubbard, he's going to find a way. Hat on the football, gets the ball out. Deontay Lawson recovers it. Game over, man. Plus, he had the interception earlier when they also were marching down the field as well. So, shout out to him. He gets a game ball. Xavien Brown gets a game ball. I mean, Cam Coleman is one of the best receivers in the country. Very talented guy. He didn't have an opportunity to display too much in this football game. Because Xavien Brown was on him, and it's not like he just happened to be matched up on him. It's not like they did that intentionally, but any opportunity, man, Xavien Brown displayed why he is one of the better cornerbacks in the country and probably why he's going to be one of the top draft picks when he is eligible. 5 reception, only 43 yards, no touchdowns for Cam Coleman. So really impressive stuff by Xavien Brown. Malcolm Simmons, their receiver, had a pretty solid game, but I think Dejon Lee still played solid. I think there was that one that he gave up, that long touchdown or long reception. But outside of that, I thought our secondary did a pretty solid job. And from a you know, upfront perspective, I thought we did pretty good. Now, I know their quarterback ended up rushing for over 100 yards. You know, he did have a long of 20 on the ground. But for the most part, I thought we did pretty good, especially given that, I mean, the guy had 23 carries. So, I mean, he's going to have some yards. I mean, you're expecting that because that's literally the way they play offense, quarterback design, run. He's going to scramble. But I thought for the most part we did a solid job, especially early on. I mean, I think we started the game with like 3 and outs. We talked about on Friday, you expect them to make some plays. It's the Iron Bowl. It's a rivalry game. You want to give some stuff up. But at the end of the day, man, it's, you know, the most important thing is finding a way to get those stops. And we did that. They had some explosive plays on us. But, again, it's the Iron Bowl. Can't be too picky at all. So that being said, that's my breakdown for the 27-20 victory over the Auburn Tigers. Never going to complain about an Iron Bowl win, whether it's by one, or whether it's by 100, man, especially going on the road. Shout out to Kalen DeBoer. He was emotional post-game, just proud of his guys for everything that they've accomplished, man. They've had one hell of a schedule, and they've battled adversity, and they continue to fight. And, you know, you can clearly see, man, he loves his guys. He loves his program. So shout out to him getting his first victory over Auburn in the Plains, right? So that was really cool to watch, man. Nice way to cap off our Thanksgiving week slash weekend. Now we know everything in front of us on the road to Atlanta this weekend, right? Got Georgia coming up. We got what's hopefully going to be a playoff spot waiting for us. Again, we'll discuss that later on the week. I'll get Gray Robertson back on the show. He'll give us some updates after we get the rankings on Tuesday. But speaking of Auburn, we got to mention this, though. They found the replacement for Hugh Freeze. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. And we'll talk about this whole Lane Kiffin situation, because that's taking college football by storm. All that and more coming up right on the Miller's Edge. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. Quick timeout.
Deal of the year ends on December 7th. For just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Other two guys I forgot to mention on the defensive side. Deontay Lawson led the team in tackles. You know, had a very good showing for him. I love that for him. You know, final Iron Bowl. I know he talked about being an Auburn fan growing up, and, you know, going out on that note was awesome. But then James Smith, man, he was real active in the game as well. So I thought we had a number of guys play some good ball. That said, let's kind of just segue into some of these other notes. If you guys still have any questions or, you know, talking points about Auburn, we got plenty of time. We'll do that for sure. But I do want to bring these points back up. The Lane Kiffin situation, Alex Golish has been hired as the new head coach at Auburn. So we'll probably hear a few minutes of his press conference. I feel like it's important to kind of hear what he has to say, right? Which I'll just give you my initial thoughts real quick. I think it's a good hire for those guys. I know some people are a little critical of maybe – you know, his resume and feeling like, you know, he hadn't really done anything crazy. And I get if you go off of that. But I think from a fit perspective, I'll say this. Auburn historically has always, you know, leaned into that dual threat quarterback type of offense. Well, you know, he does really well with that. You look at what he's done with Byron Brown at USF, his ability to take that Tennessee offense, you know, where he was the former offensive coordinator, bring it there and kind of, you know, manipulate a little bit, do some things with it. I think it's a really good fit for them, personally. Like, I think it's a good hire. I know some people are kind of, eh, but I think it's a solid hire. Now, does that mean it's going to work out? I'm not 100% sure. I don't think anybody can sit here in today's day and age and completely say that any hire is going to be a home run hire anymore, because you got about 2 years to prove yourself. And if you're not, like, in the college football playoffs in 2 years, I mean, see ya, sayonara. I mean, you're gone. So, but with all that said, I think he's got a chance to be successful there. And it's going to be interesting, man. So we'll probably hear from him in a little bit to get his thoughts coming up. But I'm just thinking in my head, I mean, the quarterback we just played, they redshirted him. They're probably planning on having him next year. I think he's a great fit for an Alex Golish type offense. Even Deuce Knight, I mean, perfect fit. I know some people are saying, oh, well, the receivers. Listen, man, any good play caller, I know people can talk about a certain type of offense. Oh, it might not necessarily tailor to those guys. Listen, any play caller, man, they'll find ways to make their guys successful or put them in, you know, successful situations. That said, I still wouldn't be shocked if we see Cam Coleman end up transferring, but who knows, man? It's kind of a whole part of it. But there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to have a lot of guys transferring because the SEC is on fire right now. Are we up to six new head coaches or is it still five? I thought I saved it. I might have saved it on my personal Twitter. But this is what I'll say. It's a mess right now. But if you're in the market for some new players via the transfer portal, I mean, it's like Black Friday going on in the SEC right now. I mean, think about it, guys. You got LSU players. You got Ole Miss players. You got Arkansas players. You got Auburn players. I mean, all these guys are pretty much going to be sitting there. Kentucky now, they just fired Stoops. I mean, it's mayhem right now. But the biggest deal about all that is Lane Kiffin, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit because I've got plenty of thoughts there. Yeah, here it is. I was on my other account. Here are all the new coaches, and I'll try to throw this on the screen real quick, that have now been hired in the SEC. You've got Alex Golish taking over at Auburn. You've got Ryan Silverfield taking over at Arkansas. You've got John Sumrall hired by Florida. Lane Kiffin, obviously, making his way to Baton Rouge. And you've got my guy, Pete Golden, being promoted to head coach at Ole Miss. And there's still the Kentucky job that is now available. We'll wait and see kind of how that ends up going. So I don't know. I guess that leads me to the other thing. Do you guys have any concerns that there could be some potential, I guess, more potential Bama staffers on the move? You always expect to probably have a couple here or there, even if it's like smaller, you know, staffers that might not necessarily be like actual assistants. But you got, you know, Jamarcus Shepherd being hired by Oregon State. He's already taken a number of guys. That was the other thing I forgot to mention. Looks like he's already brought along with him three staffers. Nobody that I think you guys are going to be, you know, too upset about. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way at all. I just mean nobody to make some huge dent in the coaching staff. But so far, from what I've seen, Aaron Hodges, who was like director of player personnel here, helped out with recruiting. He'll be going with Coach Shepherd as general manager. Torrey Gill, who was an assistant to the receivers coach, he's also going as the receivers coach. And then Mitch Dolan, quarterback and co-offensive coordinator. Those are the three members so far from this current staff that have been hired by Jamarcus Shepherd to go with him to Oregon State. However, according to Kalen DeBoer, I want to say that everything is expected. Those guys, everybody will be here during the whole postseason run. I think that's already agreed upon, understood, which is good. So you don't have to worry about that. I know some people are, you know, a little frustrated with Coach Shepherd initially. Like, why would he take it now? Well, he got a head coaching opportunity. You know, you kind of got to go ahead and do that. It's part of it. Signing day is this week. You got to get the ball rolling. The good news is he's going to be here to coach his guys, and then he'll end up making that transition, which is nice. So we got to hit another timeout. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update on all that and kind of segue into what we're going to do. And then when we come back, we'll kick things off on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. I want to get y'all's thoughts on some stuff. Hour number two, we'll hear a little bit from Alex Golish. We'll continue to talk about this. I've got plenty of thoughts on the Lane situation. I want to dive into that. But I want to make sure we catch up on the phone line since I've been talking a lot this hour. So we'll do that when we come back right on the Miller's Edge.
Optimized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
or find us on Facebook, Andrew Conniper Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cool afternoon, cloudy with a few showers around this afternoon, the high 54. Tonight, rain becoming widespread, the low 41.
Very cool day tomorrow. Cloudy rain ending during the morning. The high at 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Man, we've got a whole bunch of people hanging out in the chat. Welcome in, guys. If you guys are new, welcome in. If you guys have been here before, welcome back in. All right, we've been talking plenty about the Iron Bowl. I gave you guys my breakdown, my thoughts on that. We've kind of introed some of these other topics that we're going to dive into here in a minute. So we'll do just that. But first, I want to go to the phone lines. We've got a number of people that want to talk about it, so I would love to hear y'all's thoughts and everything going on. 205-342-9904. We're probably going to be a little quicker, though. We'll probably max out the calls like 5 minutes. That way we can squeeze everybody in. So first up, we got Pat. Pat, welcome in.
Glenn, hey, good morning. Hey, great win. Any win's a win. If you win by one, I always said you win by one, or if you win by 100, you still beat them. And we did. And so anyway, that being said, just want to touch on, because we need to go to Georgia pretty quick, but I want to touch on the deal with Lane. I think that the administration at Ole Miss was asinine in that not letting Lane finish the season to coach these boys or his boys that he offered to coach them. Lane's a great, great play caller Hey, the defensive coordinator could have stayed play with defense, and Lane could have coached them up, no doubt about it. And they'd have stood a much better chance of getting further with Lane calling the plays. That's just my opinion. And but anyway, that being said, Lane is what he is. But if they give him $25 million a year in guaranteed war chest, that in 4 years, he can do some damage. There's no doubt about it. I mean, because Louisiana is extremely talent-rich with players, and with that kind of war chest, he can go into South Texas over there and make a showing too. What do you think?
I missed the last. Say that one more time, Pat. I'm sorry.
Okay. I said that they've guaranteed Lane a war chest of $25 million per year. And Louisiana is so talent-rich with players anyway, and that if he has that kind of war chest, he can go into South Texas and make a showing over there getting players too.
Well, Chase is from Louisiana. What do you think, Chase?
I think it's a great hire. This is what LSU needed badly.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody better. Honestly, they were throwing around Ed Orgeron, which is sickening to me. But I just feel like you said, Pat, they threw the boatload at him. And I think Lane, he'll be fine. You know, this is what he's wanted all along, to have a big name job like LSU. But it's just now putting pen to paper. We'll see. We'll see.
But hey, I'm also hearing that Ed Orgeron is not out of the question for coming back as a defensive coordinator / defensive line coach, which we all know he is a great recruiter and a fantastic defensive line coach. I didn't think Ed ever had the horsepower to be a SEC head coach, but he has the horsepower to be a great defensive line coach, with Lane being so offensive-minded that that could be a problem over in Louisiana now, guys.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know if – I mean, Orgeron, if they bring him back, I think that means they got to stop paying him all that buyout. That would be kind of, I don't know, interesting.
Well, his buyout ain't that much. His buyout's only like $17 million, which he's already been paid most of.
Yeah, but I'm saying paying $17 million for a defensive line coach after you just paid the new coach
Ed's been gone a while. Ed's money's already been paid to him.
Well, I thought you said he had $17 million remaining. I'm saying That's a, steep price to pay.
His original buyout was only like $17 million.
Oh, I got you. Well, this is what I'll say. Sorry. Maybe it'll be interesting to see who is on his staff, because I know we're still trying to figure out who all is coming from Ole Miss. And I know there was like an ultimatum about, all right, if you're coming with me, you got to come with me right now, or else you're not secured a spot. And let's just say things got very messy on that end, from what I've heard. But
yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, but see, I feel like I don't think it was Lane's intentions for everything to be like that. I think it became messy.
No, it was not.
Right. I think it became messy.
He wanted to play. Yeah. This is Ole Miss administration, Jack Lane.
Well, I was about to say, I know a lot of people are throwing it on the people.
I mean,
yeah. Well, it's frustrating, because it's like, on one end, I understand, you know, Ole Miss, like, having him coach and worried about poaching and stuff like that, I understand that. And I know they want to get a role with everything else. But at the same time, it's like, I know he wanted to coach those guys. It's not like he was trying to just bail on them. So I feel like people are painting it like that, but it's not quite that. But then it's also, when he felt a little betrayed on that end, I think he kind of got messy himself. And now it's just a whole crazy thing. But I guess he thought he'd have a little bit more of a chance at LSU. But to me, I'm like, all right, man, that's definitely, you know, a risky game you're playing, because you built up this Ole Miss program. And I know there's only so much you can do recruiting, but he's found a way to work that portal, and it's been very successful for him. And now you're restarting LSU.
That's true. Right. But also, can you say, though, Coach Saban pulling the trigger on Lane a little bit too quick? I think it cost us a championship. That's just my opinion. I don't know what you think about that, but he pulled the trigger on Lane, and had he had a come to Jesus session with Lane and sat him down and said, "Boy, you are the reason you're here is because of me." You know?
Yeah. Listen, I wished it would have, you know, been. I can't say if he was coaching me, would have won. I definitely think it would have made more sense to have the guy that was our coordinator all year to be there, but you know, it was what it was, and it was unfortunate, but you know, it's part of the game.
Well,
man,
hindsight's 2020. Yeah, hindsight's 2020. I appreciate your time. Hey, have a blessed day, and tomorrow let's talk Georgia and show them respect. We're supposed to do it tomorrow. Okay, I love you. Have a great day, my baby.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Pat. Appreciate it. Yes, sir. We'll stay according to schedule. So we got plenty to talk about first. We'll get there when we get there. Trust me, we'll dive into the Georgia talk. You guys know how we do. We'll break it down. We'll get you guys ready for it. Don't you worry. It's coming up. But first, we got plenty more to discuss. So we'll do that. Hour number two, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
The Minnesota Vikings waived veteran wide receiver Adam Thielen on Monday. He was inactive for Sunday's game. The team released a statement saying Thielen requested to be released to contribute to a winning team. Thielen made a statement on social media thanking the Vikings and their fans, stating that this is his last season in the NFL, and ended with, quote, "with gratitude and love, and I'll be back to retire." Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert will undergo a surgery for a metacarpal fracture on his left hand suffered during Sunday's game. He's expected to still be available in Week 14 against the Eagles on Monday night. After having an MRI on Monday, Colts CB Sauce Gardner is now considered week-to-week with a calf strain, expected to miss a few weeks. Make it a new head football coach in Los Angeles. UCLA, according to sources, is hiring Bob Chesney, currently the head coach of James Madison, to lead their football program as the new head coach.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right. So we've talked a lot about the Iron Bowl, talked a little bit about all the coaching circus stuff going on. We will talk about the SEC championship game. Don't you guys worry. I promise we got all week to do that, right? And we'll do that. I've already been reaching out, anticipating getting Chris Lowe on here, talk about some of this stuff going on, talk about Alabama, all that stuff, and a couple other people throughout the week. So I know Slade's jumping on here. I know Gray will be on here for sure. I'll keep you guys posted on everybody else. Pate and Romer were going to try to hop on last week, but with Thanksgiving, they got tied up. Totally fair. And we'll see if we can get them this week as well. But that said, we'll talk plenty about SEC championship, Alabama, Georgia. We've got plenty of time to do so, though. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about the coaching stuff going on just because it's been a circus and we haven't talked about it too much. We just did with Patton, so let's piggyback off that. My overall thoughts on Lane with this whole thing, I think there's been a little bit of bad on both sides. I think him dragging it out, which he might not have been anticipating dragging it out or intentionally doing it, but I think he's kind of known that he was going to LSU. I think what had happened was basically what ended up being the biggest issue. He was planning on going there, but he wanted to find a way to be able to coach his team, which it seemed like they were holding that against him. They're going to hold that against him. They're going to hold, you know, like the, oh, you need to make a decision by here. Like even that kind of stuff, which I know they need to have answers because signing day is this week and it's important to get the ball rolling. But I feel like them doing some of the things that they were doing in terms of like Keith Carter and that administration, I think it probably put more pressure on him, which you guys know what happens when you're in a, you know, state of pressure. Sometimes you kind of panic or sometimes you end up, you know, making these decisions and whatnot. I think his response, unfortunately, ended up being, well, okay, they're throwing these ultimatums at me. I'm going to throw these. Well, if you don't let me coach, I'm bringing this guy, and this guy. And that's when I think it became extremely messy. That's what I've kind of gathered from everything. So it's really unfortunate. I don't blame Lane for going to, you know, LSU, taking a job that he feels, you know, is best for him, his family. I mean, because you guys got to remember, it doesn't just affect him. This affects his family. This affects the coaches, right? Their families relocating. Some people might not have jobs. I mean, this is like, it's a big deal. So it's not like an easy decision. But if he felt, you know, and he got the advice from Coach Saban. He got the advice from Pete Carroll. And I get it. I mean, let's just talk about it. Like, and I said this on the show, and I know a lot of people have different opinions. But for me, my thing was like, I mean, dude, you built up Ole Miss. If you win at Ole Miss, what you're showing, I mean, the possibilities there. I don't like when people say like, oh, well, he can't win at Ole Miss. Why can't he? They've lost one game. They're also a really good Georgia football team. They're about to be in the college football playoffs. They've got a good offense. Their defense has been playing solid, right? Last year, they had like one of the best defenses in the country. And you know how good of an offensive coach he is. Pete had, you know, no, you know, signs of leaving. What he built over at Ole Miss was, I mean, very solid. The only knock on Ole Miss would be the difficulty of, I guess, recruiting right to Oxford. But he found a way with the portal. And I know that's not like a foolproof way, but listen, to say like, oh, he can't do it there, I don't agree with that. He definitely could do it there. Now, is it going to be easier to recruit, you know, from LSU? Yeah. Will you be able to dominate the state of Louisiana with all? I mean, it's a hotbed for football recruits. I mean, you don't really have any in-state competition. I mean, who are you recruiting against in Louisiana, right? It's not like Alabama is Alabama-Auburn, right? Mississippi, you got Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Totally different there. But I will say this, though. Is it worth, I mean, that's a risk on his part. But again, he's a man. He can make that decision. And ultimately, he has that right. I mean, you can't necessarily blame him. Anybody would take a job promotion that they feel like, you know, is better for them and their family. It's just going about it, you should do it a certain way, you know? And especially, look, I know coaches do this and now players do it. Look, this is a part of college football. I mean, it truly is a business. It's more of a business now than it's ever been. And if you can't see that, man, you're just choosing not to. Because, I mean, these guys can leave. I know they change it to just one portal window, but still, they're getting paid. They can leave, right? The player's lot looks like an NFL player's lot. I mean, these guys don't have that same level of commitment to these schools. The coaches don't. I mean, that's where we're at right now. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So those are my thoughts on it. I think I'm not mad at him for doing it. I just think the way he ended up, you know, going is the biggest issue, especially coming from a guy that, I mean, he took some time to build his reputation back, right? I mean, we know that the departure from, you know, Tennessee, Southern Cal, hell, even the Raiders, even with us, you know, Coach Saban kind of showing him the door. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. But I think everything will end up being, you know, it is what it is, right? I mean, those Ole Miss fans, I mean, they're upset. I get they're upset, but I do feel like they're doing a little too much. And the reason I say that is, I mean, you're talking about a guy, I mean, he did turn their program around, one of the most successful past couple years in program history. I think this year is like the most successful year for them. So I just personally, I feel like why they are frustrated, I understand when they're frustrated. I think they also need to, you know, show some at least appreciation for what he did do. I mean, this is from Cole Kubik, 3 straight 10-win seasons, longest streak in program history, 4 10-win seasons tied with another coach for most of Ole Miss history. Program record 11 wins in 23 and 25. First 11-win regular season in program history in 25. 48 straight weeks in AP poll, second longest at Ole Miss. 3 of the 4 highest scoring seasons in AP poll era while he was there. 8 players taken in the 25 draft, most since 1971. And then a .743 win percentage, second highest all time by an Ole Miss head coach. So while the exit wasn't pretty, while people are upset he's going to a rival, I get all that. However, I mean, the dude did some really good stuff while he was there. I mean, he was there, what, 6-7 years? You know, and, you know, he felt he could move on and do something else at LSU, even though I think he probably could have done the same things at Ole Miss. Maybe it would have been a little bit more of a challenge with recruiting, maybe. Other than that, we'll see. But I do know this. They hired Brian Kelly thinking he was going to be the savior, and we saw how that worked out. So hopefully it works out for Lane. I like Lane. I do. But again, taking a gamble here. They signed him to a big contract, but best believe they don't see those results. He ain't going to be there very long either. And then that's really going to be tough, because think about how the schools are going to look at him after that. Well, we saw what you just did to Ole Miss and the other places. They're going to be a little hesitant on hiring him, but it is what it is, man. But anyway, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We still got to hear from Alex Gulch. We'll do that here in a minute. But first, we got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in. Ricky, you still there? Going once, twice. Circle back, Ricky. Sorry, I know it's been a minute. Let's see if Smitty's still with us. Smitty, with us?
Christian, how's it going?
What's up, Smitty? Sorry about that, man. It's a day full of news and everything.
Yeah, I was going to hit you with a thanks a lot, brother, but it's good, man. but no, I'm actually going to Raw tonight, by the way. He's in my area tonight, so I'm having fun doing that.
Yeah.
Before I talk about this game, first things first, I hate, you know, I'm good for this. Zay Mincy, son, you are an Oregon State Beaver. Sorry. He had a bad two plays, man. Dropped the easy pick and gave up the touchdown. Good Lord. But here's the thing, right? I know that not you, but there's a lot of fans and media that doesn't appreciate how hard it is to win. And I believe a lot of fans and media still don't believe Kalen DeBoer is a guy. And they keep saying he's soft and all that crap, right? But let me ask you, how can a coach be soft when he got them off the mat against FSU? And we saw teams like Florida, LSU, Florida State quit this year, you know? Because if you're soft, your team would have quit on you. And with all these deficiencies, you know, you working in a new, some young guys' offensive line. You had to work in a lot of injuries because Tim Keenan was hurt early on. Then Jam been battling injuries all year. Then, you know, people are mad about coaches. Well, Alabama fans are always mad about the coaching staff. You know, they were mad at Kirby at one point. So, just be real. So, with all these deficiencies, bad run game, we're not going to get into why. Ty kind of been turning the ball over a little bit, been a little shaky. All this stuff. They're still 10-2. First place in the SEC, despite all that. To me, that showed I believe he's the guy and that he is a leader. And he may not be cussing people out and throwing stuff. Marcus Freeman ain't that guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, he's the guy. And I just think that people, it just may look different than it was under Saban. But I appreciate the fact that DeBoer is doing it his way. He ain't doing it the Saban way. He's doing it this way and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, in terms of, like, the soft thing, how do I explain this? I would not call them soft. I just think when they would make comments like that, they're talking about his style, right? I mean, you got to understand, I mean, when you go from Nick Saban, who's viewed as arguably the hardest football coach, right? Most tough, you know, gritty, you know, jump you type football coach, old school. And then you bring in a guy who doesn't cuss and, you know what I mean? He's like a very friendly players coach. I understand why people view it that way. But again, there's a thousand ways it's going to catch. And I'll say this, to be fair, I'm not going to lie. I'll even say this. And I love Coach DeBoer. I've been up there and been around him a lot. I do think last year, his first year, he was a little, let me be careful how I phrase, because people will take it out of context. I do think he did lack some of what he's showing this season. I'm sure he probably would agree with what I'm saying. Now, also, I'm smart enough to understand there's a number of factors given. It's year one. He's just getting to know these guys. You know, he's not going to necessarily show up and feel like he's going to sit there. Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things going on. So I understand that aspect, but I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I do think last year, this year, it's evident that he's a lot more comfortable, you know, with who he is. And we've even heard, listen, and if you don't believe me, go back and listen to the player interviews. They've even said it. Man, we're getting used to seeing a different side of Coach DeBoer now. Like, they encouraged him. If you go back and really pay attention to what some guys were saying, they literally were, like, yearning for it. And that's all me and my dad used to say. It's like, dude, when you come to a program like this and you got players like this, like, it's okay to be a player's coach, but you do have to – like, there's some guys that need to get jumped on. Like, they need that. If not, they go away and it's just not – you're not going to get the most out of them. And I think now we're seeing him lean into that a lot more. And to me, it's a complete different, you know, style that we saw last year. You know what I mean? We're not seeing, like, think about this, and I hate to use that as an example, but, you know, we had a guy have some off-the-field issues. They handled it internally. Boom. And I don't think we've seen him play since. That's not soft. I mean, I hate that for the guy to use that as an example, but that's not soft. You know what I mean? And we're seeing even just, you know, his interaction on the sidelines and stuff. I mean, this is totally different. So, I think last year was kind of just that kind of like, you know, welcome party. And now you're kind of seeing, but no, is he a different fit here? Yeah, he's a different type of fit. But at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. And I don't think Bama fans care if he's cussing, if he's reading Bible verses, or he's, you know, reading cooking recipes, man. As long as he's winning football games and getting you to the SEC championship game and getting you in the playoffs, That's ultimately what matters.
You know what, Christian? And one thing also, and I've always said this, that was the first big coaching change in the portal NIL era. This ain't like you loop someone flipped from Kentucky, you know? This is, you know, and then we, none of us knew about this loophole in the portal when your coach leave, you got 30 days, and then you had the spring window. So we none of us knew this, right, till it happened. Right. And now you're seeing what coaching changes happen. Now people are negotiating differently, but I'll say this about the game before I run because I know you got other people. At the end of the day, where's the win? That's how I look at it. Asher Daniels did a good job with improvisational skills. Some of those runs he made was pretty his improvisational skills. I don't know. Maybe a three-man front may not be a good idea for a guy with that type of improvisation, you know? maybe you put another guy down there. But I thought they did a good job. And, like, the one thing everybody was talking about, well, Ryan Williams ain't getting no targets, I don't get all 22. And I'm no Coach DeBoer said, we don't call plays for 6 weeks for guys that's like a screen pass, something like that. Maybe these teams are doubling him and Bernard and saying somebody else beat us. That's what Belichick is doing with Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs. You're not beating us. Somebody else will. Maybe teams are doing that. I don't know. But if they're doing that, you can't force the ball to him. You got to go to other people. And so hopefully they'll find a way with him in Georgia. But at the end of the day, you still won the game regardless. And I'm just happy that from what we saw at the beginning of the year to now. And one thing about Georgia real quick, I know everybody loves saying no one plays Georgia right now. And both these teams are walking mass units, all the injuries they had.
Yeah.
But this defense is better than the one they played at Georgia. And Tim Keenan is healthier now to help with run defense. Because I think that was the first game back, I think, when they played up there. I think that's something that the media won't talk about. But I'm just proud of this team from the resolve they showed all year. And I do think Grubb needs to stop being cute sometimes, you know. But and cause folks got to remember, I said at the beginning when they hired him, do not crown him as the savior. Just he's running DeBoer's offense. And I said, let's see how it goes before y'all crown this guy. Because let's be real, the run game was better under Sheridan.
You also did have a quarterback that was, you know,
one of
the best athletes in the country. So that played a role. But I think now people will finally believe us when we say, yeah, there is a reason Jalen Milroe ran the ball so much instead of this, oh, he came through. I mean, listen, yes, did he have some deficiencies? 100%. Anybody can acknowledge
everybody
that.
Everybody does.
Right, everybody does, but that's why you lean into what he does well, and that's why it used to drive me nuts when people used to just not acknowledge that. Like, whoa, why is he running? Well, here, let me tell you why. I mean, that's what he does best. they're doing what good coaches do. I never understood that part, but no, you're right. I mean, I think people probably owe Nick Sheridan a little bit of an apology because, I mean, you're starting to see it wasn't as bad as people probably made it seem, including my dad. My dad gave him a lot of flack.
And I said this before I go, thanks for taking my call as always. The biggest thing from Saturday, Ty did not have the best day. He got the tar kicked out of him, but he did not turn the ball over. That's all I ever asked for because it wasn't pretty, but you didn't turn the ball over to give them extra opportunities. And to me, I shout Ty out for that, and I shout Connor Talty because he had to kick a 40-yard field goal in that pressure, 45. And I give him credit for bouncing back, too. But thanks for taking my call, Chris. And you guys have a good one.
Yes, sir. Always, brother. You too, man. Good deal. All right. Let's do this. Let's hit a timeout and stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We'll go back to the phone lines. Plus, we got to hear from new Auburn head coach Alex Golish to hear what he has to say, taking over in the Plains and more.
Grains and minerals. Hall's Feed and Seed has live fall vegetables. We have the seeds too. We serve gardeners, hunters, and farmers all year long. Hall's Feed and Seed, downtown Mammoth.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cool afternoon, cloudy with a few showers around this afternoon, the high 54. Tonight, rain becoming widespread, the low 41. Very cool day tomorrow, cloudy rain ending during the morning, the high at 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Let's hit another call or two real quick just to catch up, and then we'll hear a little bit more from the whole coaching circus is going on. I think we got Chris on the line. Let's see if he's still there. Chris from Decatur. Chris, you with us? We're going once, twice. Sorry. Yeah, I know a lot of people like stacked up early on, so they've been waiting a long time. So I don't blame you guys. But if you guys want to circle back and call back, you're more than welcome to. Let's see who was up next. I think there was Turner. Let's see if Turner's still with us. Turner, you still on the line?
Yes, sir. What's up, Christian?
What's up, Turner, man? How's it been, man? Long time to not no see, but I guess no here.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. I mean, I'm still listening to you and your show, and just hadn't called in. One, I wanted to ask you, are you going to Atlanta next weekend?
I don't plan on it, no, but okay. It sounds like you might have some plans already. You going?
Yeah, me and my son are going. Yeah, I've been buying SEC championship game tickets since '94. Yeah, I'm taking my son, and I was going to say, I didn't know if you and your dad were going to be there. So, we could get up and hang out or something, or if you were broadcasting, Atlanta. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, no, I didn't have plans on it, but yeah, no, I appreciate you checking, though.
Yeah, man, because I think it would be cool to meet, and my son would probably love to meet you. He plays outside linebacker, and you played outside linebacker. Yeah, but, going back to the Lane Kiffin Ole Miss thing, I was kind of keeping up a little bit with the drama there. Not too much, but just a little bit. And, Lane was like, well, if you don't let me play, I'll poach players and coach. Well, he was going to do that regardless. So I don't understand why he said that. I mean, if he leaves, he's going to take the staff members he wants to take. He's going to talk to the players that he wants to come with him to LSU. And I think it was who was it? Was it Caleb Odom? He was at Alabama. He's at Ole Miss now, right?
Yeah,
is that his name, Caleb Odom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. I don't know if it's true or not, but he posted something where he was upset for Lane because he, per the post, not saying it's accurate, but per the post, he was upset because he accused Lane of not coming back and talking to the players and saying, hey, this is the decision I made, blah, 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 blah. But, I think something needs to be done because, if you're an Ole Miss fan, I mean, this is a chance to, like, your first year ever to go deep into the playoffs. You got the coaching staff, you got the players. Now, you may have some players sit out, I can't imagine they would. I would hope they wouldn't be in a playoff team, but I mean, it just messes things up. I mean, I'm a big proponent. I know things got to be done to get people enrolled, but stuff needs to like quit happening so early. Like when there's still playoff games, conference championship games, in rival state, games when there's games this needs to stop and there needs to be a new system. You're probably going to have to ask the academia to make exceptions for late enrollees or something like that, which they don't care about sports. They're gonna be like, no, we're not doing that. But I don't know, something needs to be done because it's not really fair to Ole Miss. I mean, Lane, like you said, Lane has to do what he needs to do. He needs to make decisions that's best for him, his family, and his career. I think he'll do well. At LSU, that's my opinion. I really wanted him to come to Alabama, but I just don't think I think he didn't have the maturity level at the time. And I think he's a little more mature now, but, I think Lane is football-wise, especially offensively, has a fantastic football mind. I do think it's funny the way he trolls some people. He's pretty funny. And,
Go ahead. No, I just was going to say, I agree with you, man. He is very, very much a very solid football coach. I mean, he recruits well, and he's an offensive guru. I mean, being around him, man, I loved having him as an offensive coordinator. I watched him draw plays up. I watched him celebrate touchdowns before they happened because he knew they were going to happen. I mean, he's awesome in that aspect. It's just, unfortunately, this is kind of a common theme in terms of his exits. And I hate it because You talked about his maturity. I mean, I felt that he was so much more mature. And I think he still is. That's why I think it's unfortunate the way this one unfolded, because I don't think it needed to be like this and it shouldn't have been like this. But like you said, with these windows and these table time tables, I mean, it's honestly, it's tough because you – go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, he could have worded it a different way. He could have just told the Ole Miss administration, I owe it to these players and this university to keep on coaching out.
Right.
I owe it to them. You know,
well, unfortunately, I don't think that they even gave them that luxury. I think they were using that. Listen, this is from what I've gathered. They were using that almost as leverage, almost as a way to pressure him, right?
Right.
And I think what happened was then he kind of went into desperation mode and was like, well, if you don't let me this, then I'm going to this. You know, just something that you get in an argument with your significant other, whoever, and it sometimes gets tit for tat or whatever. That's it. Seemed like it became like a tit for tat type deal. And listen, and I agree with you when you say, I mean, whether he coached or not, you don't think he's going to be able to have some influence on some of the guys that want to leave that might not be playing? Or that's going to happen regardless. I think 100%. They all could have handled it better. But the problem too is I think the system doesn't help, right? You've got a transfer portal window. You've got the new signing day, which is literally this week. That puts strain on so many things, on so many levels, because everybody has to get things done in a certain window. If not, you're behind. And then you're really behind the eight ball, and that can really set you back. So,
It's just a bad overall situation. It's a result of how the system is right now. Is what that is. But anyway.
That's true.
Well, thanks for taking my call, man. Good talking to you, brother.
Absolutely.
Roll Tide. I think that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tanner. Yes, sir, Turner. Thank you so much. You too, bro. Roll Tide. All right, let's do this. We'll stay on schedule. We'll hit this timeout real quick, and then we come back. We'll hear a little bit from Golish. And plus, we got plenty more to talk about. We got to discuss the SEC championship game, some early thoughts. Remember, this week we'll be breaking it down like we do every other matchup. So we'll dive into it. It'll be a little bit different this time around since we've played them before. We know a lot about them, so we're not going to be doing it from ground zero. However, we will kind of pay attention to what they've done since, we last played these guys. I will say this. Georgia's been playing a lot better football since the last time we met them. And, we say it's a common thing, right? It's hard to beat a team twice. We'll talk about some of those reasons why. And we'll break down this matchup in traditional fashion throughout the week. But we'll do a little bit of an early preview here coming up right at the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store America.
All IQBar products, plus free shipping when you text IQBar to 64000. Text IQBar to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBar to 64000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support expert. So we talked about Alex Golish. She's speaking to the media currently, just named officially the new head coach for Auburn University. And I think we could play a little bit of it just to get his initial thoughts. I think it's important, right, to hear from the in-state rival. So let's do that first, because then after we officially do that, we can jump ahead and look at the SEC championship matchup while we still got some time left. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines, by the way, if you guys want to get in on the action. But first, let's hear a little bit from new Auburn head coach, Alex Golish.
Head football coach, 33rd head football coach in Auburn history. Please welcome Alex, his wife Alexis, their children Corbin and Barrett, to the Auburn family. War Eagle.
War Eagle. I am so humbled and so grateful to be standing in front of you today. It's been a fascinating, let's call it 35 hours. Been 24 hours on campus, so I can't tell you how appreciative my family is of the opportunity. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be standing here today. I want to thank Dr. Roberts for the warm welcome and the opportunity. I want to thank John for his integrity through the search, for him doing it the right way, for the timing of it all to work out the right way, and from the start to the beginning, doing it with the highest class and the integrity that he promised from the beginning he would do it with. And I'm grateful for that, John. The Board of Trustees, for how quickly and rapidly we were able to go through this process, and for accepting me, I'm grateful to that. Lee Van Horn and the administrative staff that's worked for the last 24 hours. We took a little nap last night for about an hour and then right back at it. Everybody that was involved with the search, thank you for choosing me and this staff and my family to represent one of the most storied programs in all of college football. The Auburn Creed: work, hard work. I believe in Auburn and love it. John tells the story of my family coming to the U.S. And I told the staff, I hate talking about myself. I don't ever want to stand up here and talk about me. I want to stand up here and talk about this program, Auburn University, and more importantly, our players. For the next couple minutes, I'll go through it. And then from here on out, it'll be about the program, the team, and everything that Auburn University stands for. I want to thank the most important person in my life and my rock, and the one that allows me to go to work and, as she says, hang out and do football with my buddies. What you're going to get from me, from our staff, and as we get rolling, our players, is the hardest working, toughest, grittiest program in the entire country. We're going to work day in, day out. We're going to find wins in every single margin we could find. We're going to build a process-driven program. A process-driven program where we wake up and we worry about winning every single aspect of our lives every single day. I truly believe that if you buy into a process, a way of doing things day in, day out, from the moment you wake up to how you come in, to how you attack your relationships in a building, to how you attack the weight room, sports medicine, nutrition, the film room, the teaching, and then certainly the work on the field. If you buy into eating right, sleeping right, hydrating right, outworking people in the things that nobody else sees, the end result will happen. A lot of the time you don't control the end result. You control your daily habits, you control your daily process. And if you keep pouring into that, day in, day out, us as a staff, the student athletes, everybody that touches our guys, at whatever point the process will pay you back. We're also going to have a hell of a lot of fun doing it. We're going to be explosive on offense. We're going to play really fast. We're going to challenge teams in every imaginable way. We're going to run the freaking ball. People around here like running the football, and I can respect it. We're going to be explosive. We're going to play really fast, and it's going to be a brand of football that's going to be fun to watch. Defensively, we're going to be just as fun to watch. We're going to be aggressive, create explosives, create negatives, create turnovers. We're going to be the most violent freaking team on the football field every single Saturday. We're going to be different on special teams. We're going to create explosives on teams. It's going to be a huge difference in why we win. We're going to outwork, outthink, and outprocess people across the entire country. I told the guys yesterday in our team meeting that at whatever point we're ready to be a player-driven program, player-driven. I think in my time, as I've gone through this journey, I've been rolling up our sleeves. We've been here for 24 hours, and we have gone to work. We're going to recruit this 250-mile radius harder than anybody in the entire country. The high school football within these 250 miles is nothing short of elite. I've been in this part of the country for a long time. I've recruited this part of the country for a long time. Our staff, as it all comes together, is going to have a giant footprint in this 250-mile radius around campus.
All right, so we're going to pause that there. Like I said, I just wanted to listen to a few minutes of the press conference of Alex Golish. Again, the new head coach of Auburn University, hired him from South Florida. We know about him, right? Played him a couple times the last few years. Good coach, comes from Coach Heupel's coaching tree. A lot of similarities there with what they like to do. You heard the man. They're going to want to run the football. You'll see that involving the quarterback, which, you know, is nothing new to Auburn. And he talked about what they plan on doing on defense and special teams. Intensity, right? Aggressiveness, blitzing, forcing turnovers. Everybody talks about these things in press conferences. So, I mean, you know, it all sounds great, which I'm not going to lie. I do think he's a really good fit. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying. I don't want you guys listening to that, like, oh, man, no, no. Like, listen, every coach is going to say all these things. But it is going to be interesting to see what they end up looking like and what he ends up doing in terms of the rest of his staff, especially defensively. I know what we're getting out of this guy, not what we're getting. I know what Auburn's getting and what we're going to expect from this guy. Given, you know, seeing him at USF in previous spots. But defensively, I'm curious how that goes. I'm not sure if they officially said they'll keep DJ Durkin, who I think is a really good coach. But nonetheless, man, I think they did a nice job with their hire. I think he's a good fit for what they do over at Auburn. And I think he's going to make for some interesting matchups down the road, Alabama, Auburn, in some Iron Bowls. But for this Iron Bowl, we take the crown yet again. I think that's 6 years in a row for us. Here at Alabama, 27-20 victory over those guys in the Plains. That said, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap things up in our final segment. We'll preview a little bit of this SEC championship game. Trust me, we got all week. We'll talk about it. We'll dive into that. Plus, you got playoff rankings coming out tomorrow. That should kind of give us some more indications on, you know, how we should view this playoff. Excuse me, this SEC championship game and its implications on a playoff. Right? I mean, there's so much going on this week, and we're going to dive into it. Talk about it. Throughout the week right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cool afternoon, cloudy with a few showers around this afternoon, the high 54. Tonight, rain becoming widespread, the low 41. A very cool day tomorrow, cloudy, rain ending during the morning, the high at 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Couple things real quick. We'll talk plenty more about the SEC championship game tomorrow. We got plenty of media to play and to talk about. There's going to be interviews today and tomorrow, so we'll play those tomorrow. But just a quick little, you know, summary, right? You got the SEC championship game kicks off 3:00 this afternoon. I know a lot of you guys probably plan on going. If you can go, make sure you guys do that, because look, you know, we're playing in Atlanta. We already know Georgia's, you know, they're going to be well traveled, not far from Athens at all. It's a rematch game. We're talking about two really good football teams. And shout out to Kalen DeBoer again, real quick. I know we talked about it earlier, but to finish number one in the conference after the grueling schedule that we had, man, great accomplishment there, you know, especially given the way we started the season and then to end up where we ended up at, man. That's just awesome for him and this football team. And so they've got a lot of stuff in front of them. They got to lock in like they do every week, 1 week at a time. And the next challenge is the Georgia Bulldogs, who we've beat before. We've seen them before, beat them twice so far, right? Kalen DeBoer has beaten Kirby twice back-to-back years, once in Tuscaloosa, once on the road, and now he's got a chance to go for the three-peat in Atlanta. Not going to be an easy task. Georgia's playing some good football. Been playing a lot better since the last time we saw them. But the good news is, I think one big difference, too, is our defense is playing a lot better as well, right? But that is one thing I'll note about Georgia. I feel like their defense has made strides since then. So, talking about our offense, starting trying to, you know, get out of this rut that we've been in, going against a Georgia team that they've got plenty of tape on us now, plenty of experience going against us this year, knowing, you know, who we are as a football team this year. And I think it's going to be set for a big matchup. Like it always is, anytime these two teams face each other in Atlanta, you already know what you're getting, man. It's going to be one hell of a matchup. And that's exactly what I expect. We got all week to talk about it. We'll break it down, talk about the updates on everybody, who's expected to play, who's not, matchups, all that stuff. We'll do all that throughout the week. But first, let's wrap things up on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Super Joe up next. Super Joe, welcome in. You there? Going once, twice. Next, we'll go to Bryce. Bryce is still with us. Bryce, you with us?
Yeah, Kristen, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Bryce?
Anytime that Tennessee can lose and Alabama can win and Auburn can lose, great weekend. and I'm glad that Auburn didn't get John Summerall. This guy, he talks a big game, but I don't know if it would have been me. I just said, hey, I'm looking forward to the challenge here at Auburn and been done. I wouldn't blow so much smoke up somebody's rear end, you know?
you gotta win the press conferences nowadays with social media and all these clips and stuff. You gotta win the press conference. You gotta go in there and get the approval of everybody. So of course they're gonna go in there and we're gonna be the hardest working team, the most aggressive team. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying it is a little cliche.
You're saying.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is, in 4 or 5 years, they'll be writing another kit.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, who knows? With today's day and age, you never know. I mean, it could work. It might not work. Hell, even Summerall. I mean, who knows if that works? I mean, Florida, they got a hell of a schedule, you know, typically. Maybe it lightens up a little bit over the next couple of years. But as good of a coach as he is, I mean, that's a tall task to tackle as well. So I think nowadays with the portal and NIL, I mean, I don't know if you can call any hire true home run hire. I mean, they're going to be good hires, but it's hard to really just predicate what's going to be.
Well, Larson looks like a pretty good hire, isn't it, for what he's done? Nobody's done what he said. They beat Kirby Smart twice. They beat the guy everybody wants in Oregon 3 times, and he's beat Stark twice. So I'd say he's got a pretty good resume starting. And I saw something that was really impressive. When Saban was here for 2 years, 19 wins, he's tied him. That's very impressive, you know.
Yeah.
This guy, and I like the way he has changed. He's got fire on the sideline. It's showing emotion. And that's one thing that I see that he's done this year that has helped out a lot. And I'm looking forward to, hey, we're playing at Mercedes Nick Saban Field East. So never lost there, buddy. And so that's the way you got to look at it, you know. And game day's going to be there. It's going to be exciting. So Coach Saban will be there, you know. So
it'll be good. I definitely think it's going to be a really good game. I think, if you look at over the last however many years we played these guys, you know, it's never just going to be some convincing game where you just go. I mean, it's going to be a heavyweight matchup for sure. And I'm excited for it, man. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to probably be one of these close ones that might come down to a certain number of plays in it. And look, that's what you sign up for. But you're right. I did see that stat. Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban, they are tied in terms of the records through 2 years and having the opportunity to go to Atlanta and win the SEC championship game. So hopefully Kalen DeBoer can conquer that task. I mean, I know he's set for it. I mean, you can see it on him, man. I mean, they've worked for this moment, and I'd be shocked if they don't come out. They're ready to go. The biggest thing is, who will be ready to go? And the reason I say that is we got a number of guys banged up, and so we'll have to monitor that. But it looks like Jam and Quavis at least won't be available for this game. And Parker Brailsford, he's a little banged up too, so hopefully we can get him back as healthy as possible. But I'm excited for it, Bryce.
They have ruled Jam out.
they haven't officially ruled him out, but if I had to guess his status, I would probably say he's going to be doubtful and then maybe end up being ruled out later, or at least maybe as a game time decision, but not really having much confidence that he will be able. Again, that's just me speculating. I don't know yet.
Well, it looks good. We got a running game going into the ball games, which that's good. You know, we found that looked good. I was impressed with that Saturday night. But, man, my heart goes out to South Carolina, man. I watched that game, and I was thinking about your dad, man. I said, oh, man, I can't believe they're going to go out like this. You know, yeah, I was rooting. It wasn't because I wasn't rooting for him, man. I was wanting them to beat Clemson, and then all of a sudden it just fell apart on at the end.
I haven't talked to him, but hopefully they can figure something out for next season, man. I like Shane Beamer. I want him to do well, but unfortunately this year wasn't great for him. Bryce, we got to hit this final timeout, and I appreciate you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Good deal. That'll do it for us on this Victory Monday. Big thanks to all our listeners via Tide 100.9, YouTube on our stream, and Facebook as well. Big thanks to Chase and Reed behind the glass. And, hey, that's just the start of the week. We got plenty more coming your way this week. We got interviews lined up. We got a whole bunch of media and stuff. We'll play SEC Championship games, so be ready for that. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.